Grab your phone, tablet, or whatever you listen on and get comfy. Because here's another great episode of the Pop Zara Podcast. Enjoy it.
I have no words for you.
Because I am so stunning.
Because you are going to die.
Round one, fight!
Hello, welcome back to the Pop Zara Podcast. That means we're talking about video game numbers and sales and estimates and gore and blood and fatalities and tornadoes. Well, tornadoes for me anyway, because apologies for being a little late on this edition of the NPD Podcast that myself, Nathan Evans, managing editor of PopZara.com, and my esteemed colleague, number cruncher Corey Gallagher. Corey, thank you. Once again, you're in the background laughing.
Yep, so, I'm laughing at your pronunciation of my name once again.
It's called a shtick, people. So anyway, there's been a lot of tornadoes in this country, and so little things have put a little slight delay. People on the coast can't quite appreciate it. You might get earthquakes, but you don't get regular earthquakes. People on the East Coast, you might get hurricanes, you don't get regular hurricanes. People in the Midwest, it's Tornado Valley. You ever see The Wizard of Oz? It's like that, but with more witches. And speaking of witches, Corey, we are talking about NPD, the National Purchase Diary, talking about game sales, talking about game estimates, talking about all the fun stuff that fills the two halves like an Oreo cookie. So speaking of double stuff, let's talk about what moved and shaked. This is the last NPD podcast before E3 2019. Mm-hmm. And chronologically, that makes it both important and boring. And important because we have no idea what's going to happen next month. Normally, E3 is a little bit of a surprise. It's a little bit of a mystery box, or if you're a DC fan, a mother box. But the fact is, Corey, I think you would agree, this E3 is kind of strange because so many companies have pulled out. So many companies have already announced things on the peripheral. There's going to be surprises. We just don't know what they are because, well, they're surprises. We'll get into that later. And a little boring because no company is going to release any big titles from now till about the end of June. The games that you and I are going to talk about, Corey, are on the shelf. You can buy them. So this is a good time to pick up the old stuff, the scraps you may have missed. But you may not have missed because if they're on this list, it means somebody bought them. So it's, you know, just disregard everything I just said. Let's talk about hardware. Let's talk about what sold.
Well, starting off with hardware, I don't think anybody's going to be surprised to talk about the Nintendo Switch. Everybody bought one. I'm not really sure how everybody doesn't already own one, but there you have it. It sold super well. Nothing else sold very well at all. Everybody but the Switch declined in sales. The Switch sold a bunch of stuff. Generally speaking, we sold less hardware than last year, I guess, because everybody already has everything, and there you go.
You know, we've heard this before. We've heard this, that people are buying less PlayStations and less Xboxes. That's a little bit of an untruth, though, because historically, as these consoles get older, they supposedly get cheaper. And when they get cheaper, they tend to sell legacy units. And I know, do you remember when the PlayStation 4 came out and the PlayStation 3 actually sold better for a long time? It actually sold, in fact, it sold better than the PlayStation 4.
Really?
Yeah, because they're supposed to get cheaper. Same with the original Wii. What happens is there's a commensurate price drop, as they cycle through. The problem, though, the big problem is that Sony and Microsoft, because of their insistence on putting PlayStation 4 Pros and Xbox One Xs, have sort of disrupted the cycle, and they've confused the market. And I've been saying this crap for years, and you've been agreeing with this crap for years, is that they've really messed up the cycle, and they're now starting to see the repercussions of it. You're starting to see an abrogated cycle. Where something like the Switch, which is shiny and new, can come in and just rock the boat. And I think NPD said the 32-gig multicolored Switch is the best-selling console of the year. No big surprise. And we've seen this happen because of attach rates. I don't see this changing for the rest of the year, simply because I think if you have a PlayStation, if you want a PlayStation 4 or if you want a Xbox One, you probably have them by now. On to the next console cycle, whatever that may be. I don't know. Again, the mid-generation console upgrades have really put a monkey wrench in the cog machine. That's hardware.
Yeah, that'll be about we'll be the end of the news in the generation next year, if I had to guess.
Well, didn't we, we've already kind of seen movement towards that. We've seen the disastrous launch of the Xbox One diskless system. What is it called? All digital?
Xbox S All Digital, the Xbox SAD.
It is sad. Yeah. I will say this. Look, I love the Xbox One. You love the Xbox One. Do not buy the all-digital Xbox One X. You will be very sad with the system.
You'll be sad. You'll be Xbox sad.
Like 75% of its functionality is taken off, and so don't do that. Don't do that, especially since it costs more. I think somebody at Microsoft is just playing a big joke. Like, hey, do you think they'll buy it? Yeah, let's see. Let's talk about interesting stuff. Let's talk about software, because software is the only interesting thing on this list.
Pretty much,
So we're going to do from the bottom to all the way up, top 20, starting at 20.
Well, number 20 is a game you probably wouldn't have expected if you weren't paying attention. Number 20 is actually Borderlands, not Borderlands 2, not Borderlands the pre-sequel. We're talking about Borderlands 1. Nathan, do you know why that is?
Look, I'm on record as flubbing this last time, so I will not be caught with my pants down again. Borderlands.
Please don't pull your pants down.
It's a podcast. How would you know? So
I don't want to know.
It's like, we know. And they just lied. No, Borderlands, it's a remaster, correct?
Indeed. Sure is.
As we've seen before, one of the points of remasters is to basically advertise upcoming stuff, correct?
Yep.
So Borderlands, the remaster, is there to advertise...
Borderlands 2.
Well, possibly, but more importantly...
Borderlands the pre-sequel.
More importantly than that...
Borderlands 3, which is coming out later this year.
Which is, and we will not get into this, but I will, if I can just do a slight segue for about 5 seconds. This is why I don't pay attention to video game news. I don't pay attention to video game drama. Borderlands 3 has been surrounded by online drama that I will not get into. I think all parties involved are dumb and stupid, and you should be quiet, and you should let people enjoy the games. That's all I will say about that nonsense. It's just so stupid. So dumb.
Hey, I'm right there with you. Right there with you. So number 19... is Battlefield 5. Now, that's back up on the charts because of the addition of the Battle Royale mode, I'm pretty sure. It's also looking like it's going to drop off the charts here pretty soon. I don't think this one was received especially well. That's not surprising given how quality Black Ops 4 was. That's really all I've got to say about it.
Well, I'll just say this. Our good friends at NVIDIA have been making the rounds with RTX. They've been, I don't want to use the word whoring, but they've definitely been whoring RTX and as a thing. And unfortunately, I think, you know, we've talked about this in private on this podcast, that they pushed it too fast. They pushed it too soon. And they stumbled out of the gate. Had they waited until the software, like Battlefield 5, could properly use it, like Tomb Raider, then I think people would have been more impressed with RTX. As such, I think it left a bad taste in people's mouth. And as beautiful as RTX can be... So I think you have a card that can do RTX, correct?
I do, yes. It looks great. It doesn't... Actually, I mean, now that it's been about a year or so since that stuff came out, drivers and development have advanced enough that, yeah, I can run RTX with this card, and it looks pretty good. It's not going to blow you away, but it looks nice, and it doesn't... It means you know, it's not like you can't play the game with it on. So that's wonderful.
Well, it would have made a bigger splash had the software been ready at launch,
right?
And it was not ready at launch, and so it's let this stand as a future caveat for developers. If you're gonna sell $1,000 fancy video card, make sure you have fancy software to make it look fancy. And that did not happen, and so I think that probably left a bad taste with Battlefield 5. That and the fact that the campaign was terrible.
Moving on from you saying fancy more times than I've heard in my damn life. Fancy. And number 18 is a fancy game called Jump Force Fancy Fancy. It lets you make your own fancy anime character and hang out with fancy characters like Luffy and fancy Goku and fancy Bleach people. I didn't watch Bleach, so I don't know any of them are. And...
Let's just say this. Anime, Namco, Dragon Ball, manga.
Of course it's sold. Speaking of that.
Sold pretty well, actually.
The fact that it's still on the list is kind of impressive, to be honest. Number 17 is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. People got to buy a game to go with all those Switches they're still selling, and that's what they're doing. That sounds pretty fancy.
This is the longest I've ever seen a Nintendo game on this list.
Yeah, by the way. It's still not coming off, though it is going up there. It will eventually fall off at this rate.
Yeah, it's people are still buying it, and Nintendo games sell forever, but they don't sell in the tops. They just hang around in the end. They just float around.
They never die. Number 16 is Final Fantasy X/X2HD Remaster.
Good old Japanese games. I love the names. You're not the biggest fan of this.
I didn't care for it. No, it feels very linear. I don't like it very much. I mean, if you do like it though, this looks great. It plays great. It's fun. I said as much in our review on Pop Zara. Hint, hint. Go over there, read it up.
I will say this, as someone who's played the original games, I was on board with Final Fantasy. You know my history with the series.
Indeed.
Final Fantasy X2 is where I said no more.
Yep.
At that point is when I realized this series was no longer for me.
Indeed. Too much dancing and gyrating and hips action for you, I suppose.
It's somewhere out there that's someone's idea of a good time. It's just not my idea of a good time, especially with a serious JRPG.
You know what I think your idea of a good time might be?
What's that?
Number 15, new Ooh. Super Mario Brothers U Ooh. Deluxe.
Full disclosure, never played it. Mm. Never played the Wii U version, which is interesting because you're talking to a guy who's a big Mario fan. You know this.
I'm about to say, you like Mario. You would absolutely like this.
No. I don't like Mario. I absolutely love Mario. Mm. The one of my favorite games last generation was New Super Mario Brothers on the DS. But the fact is that this, like a lot of Wii U games, it never aligned for me, and I just don't have enough time to play it. I think at one time I will, but I'll be honest with you. It looks like the most derivative Super Mario Brothers game of all time. And
it is very much more of the same, that's for sure.
Like, you normally expect a huge quantum difference between Mario games, but with this, you just feel like it's repackaged DS clones. And I'm not trying to say it's a bad thing, but when it happens with Nintendo, it's very noticeable.
And I'm going to be honest, as much as I like Mario and I know these games are good, I would say that the new Super Mario Brothers style of Mario is probably my least favorite of the modern styles.
It feels like a precursor to what Mario Maker became. It felt those mods you can buy online where you can make your own Mario levels?
Yes.
It felt like Nintendo was just letting new people experiment with level design.
Right.
And it didn't, I mean, don't get me wrong, I mean, there's still a lot of charm there. But at the end of the day, they don't remotely compare to Mario 1, 2, or 3, or even Mario World or Yoshi's Island. They don't even, not even the same sentence.
And let's be real here. Let's be real. If you want to spend your time designing things, why would you play Mario when you could be playing number 14, which is Minecraft?
Well, which is not that dissimilar if you think about it.
Yeah, honestly, it's got a lot in common. Both of them have explosives. Both of them have, pigs that you can eat. They've got underwater castles, question mark?
They both had semi-comic storytelling modes. Mm-hmm. I will say this, the new Super Mario Brothers Maker 2, Super Mario Maker 2 is going to be on the Switch this summer, along with Minecraft. I got to tell you, if you want to get people, I get asked a lot in private about, my son, daughter wants to be a programmer, what should I do? And I always tell them, are they good at math? And they say, they're not good at math. Well, 15 years ago, that would have precluded you. You couldn't be a game developer if you were bad at math.
Yeah, right.
But now, game development is basically just level design. And so, my advice is, if you have a child or someone who's interested in game development, I would suggest Minecraft and Mario Maker and let them get a taste of what it's like, because I do not think you will find a better 1-2 punch for budding game developers in those two games.
I mean, let's be real. These days, game development is having enough free time and the right colored hair. Number 13 is Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I like it. You were kind of iffy on it. There's a lot of content. We've talked about it so many times. There's not much else to say. It's got some DLC now. It's pretty good.
Look, the old joke, what's heavier, a ton of bricks or a ton of feathers?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the joke with Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I don't dislike the game. I think that there's too much of it, and there's more of it coming. I just think at the end of the day, an 80-hour game where it's a lot of padding. I'll tell you what, though, Corey, I agree with you on one thing. I see glimpses of fantastic greatness in that game.
On the whole, Origins was probably a better game just because it was new, it did a lot of new things, it was very impressive. This takes all the stuff Origins did right and did more, and does more of it, which is not bad.
No, first of all, one of the best looking games I've ever played.
Sure.
One of the most visually impressive games I've ever played. One of the best sounding games I've ever played. One of the only games where I thought the story was actually funny. I'll give the game credit. The story is hilarious. Like, if you watch it, it doesn't take itself seriously at all. And I'll just say this. Had the whole game been much shorter and emphasized more of the Greek mythology, like the Cyclops and the serpents and the Medusas, then it would probably have been one of my favorite games of all time.
Well, I'm a big fan of the Cyclops myself, that's for sure.
I want to see a game. I think you. What was your prediction? The next one's going to be called.
There are a couple predictions that have been floating around out there. My guess is it's going to be set in Rome. People have said it might also be Vikings.
I would just like to see some Assassin's Creed interpretation of, like, Clash of the Titans.
I think good money's on Rome because they can reuse a lot of assets, but that's just...
Yeah, no, I think that's true, and I think, you know, for all the crap that first-person shooters get about being stuck in World War II, a lot of these open-world games tend to gravitate towards Rome and Greek. So, yeah, look, I'm going to play the next one. Liked it. I just don't think I'll be as completionist.
Like, these are unequivocally good games.
I don't have bad things. The worst thing I'm telling you is that there's too much of it.
Pretty much, yeah. Speaking of too much and having a lot of padding, this list is going over the same crap yet again. Let's just knock out the next few of these, because...
Okay.
All right, number 12 is Mario Kart 8. It looks great in the Switch. Pick it up, try it out. Number 11 is Red Dead Redemption 2. It's long. It's very somber. If you want a game that makes you have fun, this is probably not the one for you.
Real quick, there's a story that came out saying that the online community for this game is actually growing very fast.
Really? I wouldn't have thought so. I tried it. I mean, I wasn't super impressed, but I guess people like it.
It sounds to me like that's some sort of mea culpa. Like they're trying to make people think it is. I got to tell you something. As someone who runs a website that deals with games, I don't get 1/10 of the email about this game that I do about Grand Theft Auto V. It's not even close.
Yeah.
So
I don't go on Twitch and see people doing like Red Dead Redemption 2 role playing. No, it's all Grand Theft Auto V still.
And by the way, final thoughts about this game, final thoughts. It does not need to be Grand Theft Auto V. Like, people say, it's going to be like Grand Theft Auto. It doesn't need to be.
And it's not. It's not remotely.
No, it doesn't. I don't want it to be.
Right. And it's not. It's a much more somber, very laid-back kind of game. You play it very slowly. It's not bad, but you have to really be in the right mood for it. Much like you have to be in the right mood for Yoshi's Crafted World number 10, which is a very easy game without a lot of challenge. It's a chill out, drink something kind of game, unless you are a young child, in which case it's a chill out, don't drink something because that's illegal kind of game.
I look at the trailers for this. I've never played it yet, but I look at the trailers and I thought to myself, somebody's on mushrooms.
It's exactly what you think it is. Did you play Yoshi's Island on the Super Nintendo?
Of course.
Okay, now I want you to imagine a game, right, where... Okay, so remember how you threw eggs in that game, right? You hit the button, the little indicator goes up and down, then you push...
You're forgetting an important element of that. You don't just throw eggs, you poop eggs.
And then you
guide them.
The point I'm trying to get at, you remember how you had to time your egg throws because the thing swung around on a map? You can aim the eggs manually in Yoshi's Crafted World, and that's why it's not as good a game. Number 8.
You need some restrictions on that.
Exactly. Number 8 is NBA 2K19. It is basketball. Number 9 was NBA 2K19. Number 8 is Call of Duty Black Ops 4, an unequivocally better game than Battlefield 5. The Battle Royale mode is fantastic, but I don't know if people still play it.
Real quick about this game, did you see that they're really going to expand into mobile? And this is a big deal for them. And there's rumors floating around that the next Call of Duty game will go back to its roots. It's going to be called Call of Duty Modern Warfare again. Did you hear this?
Yeah, I was just about to say, that's the rumor of the day, is that the next Call of Duty is Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which, I mean, sure, if it works, it works. It hasn't not worked yet. I would say that Ghost wasn't fantastic, but it was still worth playing.
I'll just say this. You and I know nothing about it, despite the fact that we're friendly with Activision. But I'll say this. Look for a giant push into mobile, and because they want some of that sweet, sweet Fortnite cash.
Like, come on, don't you guys have phones?
Not even just phones. I think, you know, like Apple, I don't know if you know this, Apple introduced a new iPod Touch yesterday, which we thought it was dead.
They introduced new phones, too, or just the...
No, just the new Touch, okay. five years. But, you know, they got phones every year, but the fact of the matter is there's going to be a big push for Google to get into this. Apple's going to...
What would you even do with an iPod Touch in 2019? I'm not really... Like, why would you want one instead of a phone?
Because you can do everything you could do with an iPhone except make calls. And
so it's cheaper, okay.
It's $200, and you know it gives you an entry level. Look, you and I have both been—I'll just say it—burned by Apple's specious promises to become a game master.
Yeah. I remember you at that Apple TV, Core. It's the next big thing, Core. It's gonna be great.
We are objective, and I will say one thing though: the Apple TV has become the best-selling media streamer, and it's very good.
Right. But it is for that. It's good. Yeah. If you want to watch movies or Twitch or whatever on the Apple TV, it is solid for that.
And by the way, the games run fine. I mean, it's a nice piece of hardware. It's just Apple is no good at this. And they have this new service coming out called Apple Arcade. Have you heard of this? It's a subscription.
I did hear about that. Yeah.
They're going to try to make another push, and so we shall see what happens. I'm not holding my breath, but watch for Call of Duty to enter mobile, and they're going to try very, very hard to make it work. So we shall see.
Indeed. Speaking of things that are very, very hard, please keep your pants on, Nate. Number 7 is Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. It is a very difficult stealth ninja type game that most of the mainstream gaming press believes is too difficult, inaccessible, yada, yada, yada.
I love this. I love this game. I don't love the game. I think the game is just fine. I think the game is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But
I'm a little shocked that you played it, actually.
What do you mean? I beat more games than you do.
I know. It didn't really seem like your kind of game. I'm honestly shocked that you played it.
Why? What? Possibly, I like Dark Souls.
Well, yeah, I am legitimately surprised. I didn't think you would have played this.
No, first of all, I'm a Japanophile. You know this. Anyway, long story short, one thing I love about this game, and I apologize to our friends in the industry, but most of you are frauds, and you can't play games. And you know this, Corey.
Yeah, I mean, we know for a fact that a lot of games writing is populated with people who don't have another writing job. They couldn't get one, and so they write about games. And they're not happy about that, and I wouldn't be either.
Yeah, here's a little Wizard of Oz. A lot of people who review games, and I will not name names, don't even play the games they review. They have someone else play it, and they watch them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's not uncommon. And again, that's part of, it's where we are with the media. I mean, this is how you have to make money these days, and so on and so forth.
And we are not making fun of anybody individually that we have talked about before.
Nobody that we've interviewed, certainly.
But that's the thing. When you get into streaming, right? You know that old phrase that says, you got a face for radio?
Yep.
It's because a lot of people who are very good at radio, you know, that mellifluous voice, when you put them on TV, they just don't look good.
Right.
There's an optics there. And so when you put people who write about games a lot and suddenly they're on Twitch and they're terrible, it does give you pause and question when they're being so dismissive or being really judgmental about
it. That's the thing. It was never about, you know, saying that, you know, you are bad at games, thus you cannot write about games. It was, you are bad at games, thus your dismissive attitude toward games is obviously some sort of conflict of interest. That's the problem.
That was exactly it. And if you can, and here's another little reveal, and you know this too, and I apologize for this. There are people who review games that are so bad at them, they can't even play them. And so if they can't even beat a level, if they can't get past the training level, how can they write about them? And their opinions become invalid. And one of the things we've seen with this streaming revolution is the people that opinions you've trusted become questionable.
Right, and that's exactly right. Like, if I'm going to – like, these days, I'm going to be honest. The reviews that I read are mostly to ensure that I didn't miss a key feature or whatever, and again, that I'm reviewing. But if I want to see if I would like to play a game or not, I don't read reviews on IGN. I don't read reviews on GamesRadar. I go to Twitch, and I watch somebody play it.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, those are the people that you should be trusting the most.
Yeah, because that's the most – yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of them are paid off. We know that. We know that it's a big payless game. But
look, that's what – you made a good point about this. Look, I call this journalism. At the end of the day, journalism is all about advertising. You know this. And so
especially,
this is what it is.
Especially games, movie, book journalism. It's all about advertising. It's all about, you know, helping to sell the product. We are basically an extended branch of – the publishers.
When they give us, look, we love Activision, Nintendo. When you guys give us a game, we know the deal. You're giving us this game in the hopes that we write about it because us putting an article on our website is effectively an advertisement for you. And it affects SEO rankings. It affects everything, good or bad. It's fine. That's the deal with the devil we made. It doesn't mean we're going to give you a game a good review or a bad review. It just means we're going to be, well, hopefully we'll be fair about it. But ultimately, the publishers don't care.
Honestly, I find it a little too fair. I find it difficult to give a lot of games bad reviews because, frankly, I like playing video games enough that it has to really sting me for me to not enjoy it. Like, I have
No, you're fair about this. And here's the thing. If you tend to like games that a lot of people are very dismissive about.
Right.
And when you play a game, when you see a game that's dismissive, you play a game that has glitches, you play a game that crashes. Here's the thing. A lot of games have glitches and crashes.
Yeah.
The problem is, if you're playing a big budget game from EA and it glitches and crashes, these idiots will hold it to a higher. Oh, look at this! Da 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 da. But if you're playing some indie game made by someone who lives in a taxi cab, and the game just is a giant mess. Oh, it's beautiful! It's just one person. I got to support this. No, it still glitches and crashes.
Exactly. Anyway, we didn't actually say anything about Sekiro. It's a pretty good game. It's pretty difficult, but if you're patient, you'll make it through.
No, that's exactly it. Here's my final thought. What I love about this game is that it reveals how bad so many of these people are and how frustrated they are. because they haven't really thought about what it's going to look like when they show their ineptitude to the world.
That's basically what it boils down to. Speaking of showing your unmentionables to the world, that's a lot of what happens in Grand Theft Auto V roleplay, and that's why it's still number 6 on this list.
You know what? I've said it before. Best narrative game of all time.
Yeah,
that's all
absolutely.
Say.
It's really solid. Speaking of which, going on from that to the best gameplay game of all time, maybe not quite, but it's really good. Number 5 is Smash Bros. Ultimate. They're selling Switches. They got to sell games with Switches. Smash Bros. Ultimate is the... I'm going to say it. It's the best in the series so far, unquestionably.
It is certainly going to be the best-selling. And
yeah.
It has done something that nobody thought it would do, and I'll say this, too, as someone who doesn't care about this franchise, as someone who can look at it objectively. The GameCube is over. Let it go.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nintendo, you encourage this dumbness by saying, hey, you can play your game controllers. This is a better game than the GameCube one. People have finally accepted.
I don't think I've been seeing people saying otherwise either. That's kind of a first.
And to be honest with you, I've been one of those people. I looked at it, Corey, and I said to myself, I don't see anything in this game that's original. It looks like just the greatest hits, but I think that's all it needed to be.
That's all it had to be, and it works great. Number 4 is Tom Clancy's The Division 2. We talked about this before. It's a good game. It's a nice shooter. I love it because it's set in D.C., what I also like about it is that Ubisoft is really good at one thing in particular, and that is they are fucking great at updates and DLC. If you buy an Ubisoft game in 2019, you are getting something that's going to last you at least a year, because they'll just keep bringing out new shit for it. They'll keep releasing updates.
You're not kidding. This game's been out for, 3 months?
Yeah, 4 months? Yeah.
And I can tell you, I'm not going to say their name, but we have an editor on the site who got the game from Ubisoft, full disclosure, played it for a while, let it go, and then, like, what are you doing? Ah, I'm done with it. 2 weeks later, I'm playing Division 2 again.
You just keep coming back. Every game they make these days. Ubisoft just does this. Every game they make, you'll get more stuff, and a lot of the time it'll be free stuff.
They seem to do with their games post-release what Activision does pre-release with Call of Duty, is that they make a compelling experience, and they make the post-release content good enough.
Exactly.
And people like it.
I just love Ubisoft in general. Ubisoft, last week I think it was, they had a skiing, snowboarding, wingsuiting game called Steep a couple years ago. And they brought it out. I don't know if it really did that well, but point being, they just gave that game away last week. And go on Uplay, get the game, keep it forever. Just gave it away. Full AAA game, still looks amazing.
No, they do this. They do this.
Yeah.
Uplay, it gets a lot of crap, but Uplay, they do give out games. And a lot of them are good ones, like the Rayman games eventually make it there.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Watch Dogs.
You know, for all the complaints we get about different storefronts, like even the Epic Game Store does this. You get free games all over the damn place these days. Good ones.
I have no problem with storefronts. That's why we have PCs. Because if you don't want multiple, if you don't want choice, don't get a PC.
Absolutely.
You know? Although I do think... what is it? Origins is coming to Xbox or PlayStation. Like the storefronts are starting to come to the consoles.
Right.
I mean,
that's kind of symbolic of, I think, the eventual combination of consoles and PC. Let's be real here.
I think. Look, you know how I feel. At the end of the day, I think one of these consoles will eventually give way to the PC.
Probably, and that'll be the Xbox. Let's be real.
Well, yeah. I mean, it already kind of is.
Yeah. Halo on PC pretty soon, by the way.
Pretty soon. And the new Halo game will be on PC as well.
Yep.
So the new one, not the Master Chief Collection.
Exactly. So by the way, all this exciting discussion has made me forget that number 3 is MLB 19, the show. It's a baseball game.
Forget a game as exciting as baseball.
Oh, man, baseball. Never played it. Number 2 is Days Gone. It's about bikers and zombies, and you are a biker who fights zombies. I like Days Gone. Days Gone is good. Days Gone did something that a zombie game has not done for me for years now, which is the zombies are actually threatening. You do have to hide, you have to think, you have to ration your ammo.
I know one game that's not on this list is World War Z, another game that you...
It's good! World War Z is good!
Well, I think what happened is, first of all, the World War Z book by Max Brooks is one of the best books ever written.
It's very good.
It's basically the best, it is the best zombie book ever written, of course. The movie had nothing to do with the game, the book.
The movie was adequate, but not as good as the book.
I guess. I don't know if the game seems like it has something to do with the movie.
It's a thematic similarity. It's not really based in the movie, but like it's got elements of the film, if that makes sense.
But when I look at Days Gone, clearly, the zombies are inspired by the World War Z zombies.
Days Gone is your Walking Dead game. Days Gone has hordes of slow zombies.
That doesn't mean what it used to mean, The Walking Dead is terrible now. It's terrible.
I feel so bad about that. Overkill's The Walking Dead, but I don't really feel bad at all because gross.
No, I mean the show, man. The show is terrible.
I never watched it.
Telltale's gone.
It's like Game of Thrones, you know, Walking Dead just, doesn't do it for me. But Days Gone is good, though. Days Gone is great. It's a real tense experience. You sneak around a lot. It reminds me of Red Dead Redemption 2, and that you got to be in the right mood for it. But if you are, it works. Number one.
Real quick, two things. Mm-hmm. One, Days Gone is also a Sony exclusive, and it's very high on this list, and you almost never see that. You
know, that's true.
That's pretty good. And you recommend it, though. You like it.
Yeah, I do like it.
Is it better than State of Decay?
Yeah, I haven't played State of Decay very recently to tell if the new DLC and such has made it that much better, but I would say, like, from a basic standpoint, it is closer to what I would have wanted from a zombie game.
How is it, for someone like me who sees all these zombie games, there's just so many of them,
okay,
right?
Let me put it this way. State of Decay is your zombie sandbox game, right? State of Decay puts you loose in this world that you do whatever you want. You can, you're basically, you have a framework to build off of, right? Days Gone is more of your narrative zombie game. If you ever played, did you play Dead Rising?
Which one?
The first one. It's probably the closest.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a narrative game. There's a story to it. You have things you have to do, but it's combined with this kind of open world setup that people are complaining about these days. I liked it a lot.
What's the one by Naughty Dog?
The Last of Us. No, no, no.
No, no, and what about Resident Evil? Anything come with that?
No, I think the closest thematic similarity is going to be what you think of when you think The Walking Dead, kind of this more gritty version of zombies.
But with a motorcycle.
With a motorcycle, yeah. The motorcycle's cool. You get to upgrade it. You can customize it. Mine is purple.
Sold.
Yep, so. Exactly. Number one, by the way, my favorite game of the past several months, probably, let's be real here, is Mortal Kombat 11. It's really well made. It's shockingly decent.
And you like this game, you've been on board with Mortal Kombat series since 10, or
Oh, X. Yeah, no, I've been riding the Mortal Kombat train since Mortal Kombat 2011, to be honest.
Our Carly Kerman tells me that Mortal Kombat X has actually been surprisingly successful on the esports tournament.
Yeah, and Mortal Kombat 11 is going the same way, it looks like.
And I will say this, though, I would very, 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 I'd be very curious to see how this version broke down, depending on platform, and I'll tell you why. Of course, the PlayStation 4 version, I'm pretty sure, is the best-selling. But the reason I have this, final thoughts about this, this was the first time a AAA big-budget multi-platform game appeared on all the consoles, including the Switch. Right. Hasn't happened yet. First time. And I think even you have been surprised by what you've seen, how good the Switch version is compared to the other.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've not played it, but certainly I've seen videos and such. And, yeah. I mean, it is the Switch. The Switch is not quite a mobile phone, but it's definitely not a PS4.
But it's the game, and it runs at 60 frames a second, and you can play the game on your Switch with a thing. It's the game. It's the competitive game.
It is the game. It is not a cut-down version of the game. It is the game.
But here's the thing, though. The Switch has become a very successful esports console, specifically with fighting games.
And that makes sense to me, because you can practice anywhere.
Well, you've been to tournaments before. I mean, you remember what it's like before. If you want to bring your console, good luck. You got to bring a TV, you got to bring a screen, you got to bring a suitcase.
Multiple issues with that, yeah. Like your controller, your console, your TV, it was a pain. With the Switch, you always have your Switch. You'll get a carrying case for it, and boom, it's right there. Of course, you're not playing with Joy-Cons. You'll have a stick.
No, don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. But I will say this, though. And the other reason I'd like to see is that this was one of the first games that Sony did not allow digital sales. And the reason what I'm saying is Sony is pulling all their digital codes from marketplaces.
Right. Yes.
You can't buy PlayStation 4 games at Amazon. You can't buy them at Walmart. I went to Walmart. I went to GameStop. You know what? Don't go there. But I will say this. They had the cards there, you know, the full game cards for the Xbox.
Yep.
And right next to them, they had the cards for the PlayStation, but it said, what is it, combo pack or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of angry people thinking that's the game, but it's not.
You know, Sony is stumbling a lot with things like that these days. I think within a year or so, we're going to see them have a come-to-Jesus moment and reverse a lot of this kind of thing.
Yeah, there's something – okay, I'll just say this. Final thoughts on this whole thing. Something's going on.
Yeah, I think there's got to be, like, some management upheaval or something over at Sony, because they're doing a lot of really strange things I can't imagine.
Not just Sony, though. I mean, just something going on in the industry, because for those who don't know – Sony and Microsoft, Nintendo, these people are not Darwin's finches. They don't make decisions in a vacuum.
Exactly.
They hire
definitely, they talk to each other, they collaborate. Yes. We know this for a fact.
Yes, they do. And so when you see things like an all-digital Xbox, when you see digital codes disappearing, when you start to see things like this, there's reasons why this is happening.
It's an industry-wide experiment. And you know, you're right. I didn't even make that connection, but it absolutely makes sense that there is an all-digital Xbox on one side. The other side is removing digital codes from the storefront. Is the industry experimenting to see what consumers prefer, and whichever one they do will become the new standard.
Well, and not only that, we haven't even talked about streaming.
Yeah, that's true, absolutely.
Project Stadia, whatever it's called, Xcode, whatever it's for Microsoft, whatever Nintendo's doing, like something's going to happen. That's why I said E3 may be a catalyst, because I think we're going to see some version of what's going to be or what they want it to be.
Right.
Whether that turns out to be like another failure, like VR or 3D, or it turns out to be a game changer that's going to stay. I don't know. That's why it's exciting, and that's why we'll cover it, because the Popstar crew is going to be, well, some of us anyway, are going to be in Los Angeles at E3.
I will be assisting remotely this time, but hopefully I'll be there next year as well. So,
I'll be on the ground. I'll be over around. And final thoughts to our good friend Matt Piscatella, I know who writes these numbers, who's been on this podcast, that legitimizes us in a way that a lot of you podcasters can be jealous about.
Yep.
But you met Matt last year.
I did. Nice guy. Had some Mexican chips with him. It was great.
Mexican chips. I'm going to try to meet him this year. So we are fully on board with being objective about the future.
Absolutely.
Onward. Second star to the right, straight on till morning.
There you go.
And with that, you have been listening to the Popstar Podcast, the final NPD podcast before E3 2019. We have no idea what the hell is going to go on, but the games we mentioned, most of them pretty good. Go buy them. They're probably on sale, except for Sony games, because you can't buy them digitally.
Yep.
But other than that, not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal at all.
Pick up, load those systems up. Every system's got something worth playing. And speaking of playing, Corey, we will see everybody on
the next level.
He said it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Popzara Podcast. For more quality original content, check out popzara.com for the latest reviews and previews in gaming, movies, tech, and more.